May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from the epistle reading and these verses just before the epistle in Hebrews chapter 11. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, when we were living in Kyrgyzstan and Kazakhstan, there were sort of two ethnic people groups that lived there. On the one hand, you had ethnic Russians. You kind of know what they look like. On the other hand, ethnic Kyrgyz and Kazakhs. These people are Asian, sort of a cross between Turks and Mongols. But what I remember being struck by was the number of ethnic Russians who, even though they were born in Kyrgyzstan, had lived there their whole lives, they didn't consider it home. Russia was their home. Not the place of their birth, not the place where their family lived, not where their friends were, not where they had made a life for themselves. No, Russia was their true home. Many of them had never even been there. Isn't it interesting that they didn't feel at home in the land where they had lived their entire lives? One ethnically Russian man we knew actually moved to Russia with his wife and daughter. While he did have some relatives there, he basically had to start over. New job, new friends, new place to live, a new life. But in some sense, he was home. As Christians, we should tend to have a similar point of view as those ethnic Russians. We were born in this world. We have obviously lived here our whole lives. Yet somehow we yearn for another place, a better place. We realize that this world, though a gift from God, has been ravished by sin and is a temporary one. Likewise, we realize that these bodies given to us by God are ravished by sin, and they are temporary ones. Yet we are not temporary. We are eternal. Many other religions, of course, also believe in the eternity of the soul, and many other people who are not even religious may think that there's something else coming, right? Something else out there after death. There's some other realm. But the Christian's path is the only path to heaven. And that is the topic of our epistle lesson this morning and the words that I just read. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. Hebrews 11 is often described as the hall of fame of faith. All these Old Testament characters that we read about, and how did they live their lives? Through faith. Well, what Hebrews describes as faith is, I think, a far cry from what many in our culture understand to be faith. Faith is often turned into what? Positive thinking. Or faith becomes this idea that if I believe something strongly enough, then God can't help but give me whatever it is. Or faith is equated with this idea of you have to chase after your dreams. But notice that these heroes of the Old Testament faith, quote, didn't receive the things promised. They trusted the promises of God. Yet in their lifetimes, they only saw glimpses of the true promises that were given to them. Consider what Jesus says to the Jews in John. He says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." Now, of course, Abraham was promised that the Messiah, the Savior, would be one of his descendants. And he got a glimpse of that. Remember in the book of Genesis, three strangers show up to Abraham's tent. One of these strangers is described as the Lord. But he never really fully realized who the Messiah would be, that it would be Jesus in the flesh. And during his lifetime, he only saw that glimpse. But in his death, he saw the Messiah fully. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. That's how the writer to the Hebrews describes these Old Testament prophets, patriarchs, as strangers, as exiles on the earth. For in these verses, faith is the realization that this world is not our home. Yes, we are in this world. And yes, God has given us many gifts to enjoy while we spend our lives in this world. In fact, this world was created for our life, to sustain life, for our enjoyment. And yet, we are strangers and exiles here. Not many people anymore live their entire life in the same house, but many people do live in the same location, roughly the same part of the country. Maybe you've lived in Texas your whole life, and yet you're not home. This is not home. You're someone that's not from here. You're a foreigner, an alien. Whenever you're visiting someplace, perhaps you've traveled about some, the human tendency is to try to blend in, right? To try to make yourself not look too out of place wherever it is you are. When in Rome, do as the Romans, the saying goes. But as Christians, this can be a dangerous tendency. St. Peter tells us, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul." The things of this world can throw us off track. They can distract us. They can make us lose sight of who we are, exiles and strangers. Trying to blend in with the rest of the world can cause us, most likely, to act like the rest of the world, to eventually become only inhabitants of this world, to forget that heaven is our true home. This world is temporary. This world is fading away. This world will be destroyed. For people who speak thus, make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. So says the writer to the Hebrews. We, like those Old Testament heroes of faith, are seeking a better country, a heavenly country. We are seeking a homeland, somewhere where we can spend eternity. We are journeying there. Life is a journey to heaven. Unlike most journeys that you plan, we don't know how long this journey will last. We don't necessarily know who we will meet along that journey, where we might even go on that journey. We don't know what struggles the journey entails. We don't know what joys we will enjoy. And we may not have all our expectations about that journey met. But the destination is always in sight. We're all on the same path, going to the same place. The journeys are different. The path is the same. The way is the same. For Jesus says, "I am the way." Jesus says the way to our heavenly home is only through him. No doubt you remember these words from the Gospel of John, where Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." St. Paul echoes this idea in 2 Corinthians when he says, "For we know that if the tent, that is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And as Jesus has been reminding us over the last few weeks in the Gospel of Luke, we have treasure stored up in heaven. These all died in faith. That's what faith is. It's a matter of the way we live and ultimately of the way we die. It's trust in Jesus that the way is through his death and resurrection, and that he is the one leading us on this journey. It is the assurance that even when the journey is difficult, even when we are ridiculed for looking like strangers and aliens in this world, even though God's word causes division, even in families, it's the assurance that God is always for us, that he is always leading us, that he always loves us. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. God is not ashamed to be called your God. Think about that. How does God often refer to himself? "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." These are characters from the Old Testament that we know quite a bit about. And as we've been going through Genesis, we've clearly seen that in no way are they perfect. That God refers to himself using their names. It's like me identifying myself as I'm the father of Jacob, Benjamin, and Esther. Not only is God not ashamed of these people, he's using their names to bring to your mind what his character is, what he is like, to show you his steadfastness to these individuals. Likewise, God is not ashamed to be your God either. He is not ashamed of us because he has made us his own. The death and resurrection of Jesus, and in your baptisms, you are his people. And we also live in faith, trusting that his promises are for us. We also live in faith, knowing that the fullness of the promises made to all those Old Testament characters were completed in Christ. We also live in faith, confident that we will see the culmination of those promises in our own deaths and resurrections, when Christ returns in glory. We also live in faith, knowing that in this life we will have trouble, taking up our crosses daily and following Jesus. We also live in faith, knowing that as he died, we will die, and as he rose from the dead, we will rise from the dead. He is not ashamed to be called your God. We Christians who live and die in the faith of Abel and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and David and Rahab and Mary and the apostles and all who have handed down the faith to you. We are citizens of this earth, of this nation, of this state, but yet our true citizenship is in heaven, in the heavenly country. Thanks be to God that he is not ashamed of us and is preparing for us a heavenly home. May we in faith cling to these promises until our life's end. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.